pray, Father, that you will prepare our hearts and our minds as we hear your word, Father, that it will encourage us and it will motivate us, Father, to be not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word. So, Father, as always, as I begin to preach this word, Father, I pray that you will move, you will convict, you will draw, and Father, that you, Father, will just empower us as your people to be who you called us to be. And Father, as always, if I'm not the one to preach this word, that you would silence my lips and you would rise up the one to speak for you in this day and in this hour. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes, Janie is been in a hospital. You know, she had a colon surgery. She's doing very well. We seen her yesterday afternoon. We went to see her, and she's doing very well. So, yes, we ask the Lord to protect her and keep her on the track that she's on, and that the Lord will continue to strengthen her body and to get her back on her feet. So, and pray for her family as well, as she needs, as they are caring for her, they need all the strength they can get as well. So, Lord, we ask you to help her and provide for her and her family at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, if you have your Bibles, open them up to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Titled this, Celebrating God's Work, Past, Present, and Future. Celebrating God's work, past, present, and future. Now, I've had several people over the past year, I don't know why, but over this past year, I guess maybe talking about a new building and building a new sanctuary and things, we had people over this past year ask me about our church history, and my wife said that someone asked her about it too. So I thought today would be a good day to share some of our past and look at our future and take a view at our goals for our future. So I'm going to read to you our church history, and I've gleaned this information from several resources. One of them is Ron and Melba Malott. So if you all turn and look to the back corner, Ron and Melba, raise your hands. They were here in the very, very beginning. They were here before me. So they were here back when this church was starting at its very core of its foundations. So you may want to ask them. Also, some of the resources came from Becky Whitehill. Becky researched the church history as a part of a college course, so some of the information she obtained. Say hi, Becky.
Hi.
And also from old church files, we found some old bulletins and an old newspaper article, and we'll have some of that stuff put up there. Now, I don't know if you all know this or not, but Open Door Baptist Church was started as a result of prayer. Following a summer of backyard Bible clubs, which is kind of like VBS, but in a neighborhood back in neighborhood's backyard, a mission group from Lincoln, North Carolina, came to Colliers, where they held several backyard Bible clubs, and 29 children attended. From that, the people of Colliers wanted to continue the Bible clubs and have worship services, but there was no place to meet. So the people began to pray that if God wanted them to have a witness in this area, he would provide a place. Well, it so happened that a trailer that had been a mobile chapel in Wheeling became available. However, there was no place to put the trailer. So the people continued to pray. And finally, a place opened up in a trailer park on St. John's Road, which is just right out the road here where that yellow blinking light is, where the cemetery, St. John's Road cuts there. An ideal location and the only place that would work, and it was called St. John's Road Baptist Church. A newspaper article referred to it as Open Door Baptist Chapel. Now, 11 people began services in January 1982, 11 people. And Pastor John Hayes became the full-time pastor. And the first revival, where we get the tent, we hear people say in the past, or there's a tent involved, it was a tent revival. The first revival was on October 2nd through the 6th, 1983. And it became clear that a bigger meeting place was needed. So what did the people do? They began to pray. They began to pray about property, and Pastor Hayes began to search for land to build a church. And Pastor Hayes found the property where Open Door now stands, where we're actually seated right now. But now, they would need money to purchase the land. Well, God answered that prayer as well, as because Open Door Baptist Church, now watch, Open Door Baptist Church in Moorhead, North Carolina, that's actually who we're named after, Open Door Baptist Church in Moorhead, North Carolina, gave $20,000 to purchase this property, but now the people needed a building. So the people prayed specifically for a building in Smoke Rise Baptist Church. I want to go there just because of the name. Just because of the name. That's just an on-fire name for a Baptist church, right? Smoke Rise Baptist Church at Stone Mountain, Georgia, sent a group of volunteers to start construction on the building. Smoke Rise also gave $10,000 to purchase materials, and then even made payments on the building after that. People from everywhere helped. Other churches helped by sending money, musical instruments, chairs, carpet, folding chairs, and pews. On August 18, 1985, Open Door Chapel was constituted as Open Door Baptist Church. Now, what I want you to notice is this. Everything about this church is a direct answer to prayer. Also, Pastor John Hayes said this, quote, "The key is availability. God wants us to be available to use as He wills. If we are willing, God has a place for us." Pastor Hayes was a church planter and started 11 churches with his wife Betty. Pastor Hayes said this, "It is the impact these answered prayers have had on the people that is important, not the things they have received. Nothing is too big for God." In 1994, after retirement of Pastor Hayes, Pastor Joe Buchanan accepted the role as pastor at Open Door Baptist Church. Under the leadership of Pastor Joe, Open Door added on to the existing church building to create the preschool department. That is that little wing over there. Pastor Joe understood that if God was going to send preschoolers and their families to Open Door, we needed to have the facilities to minister to them. In 2004, Pastor Larry Garrison served as an interim pastor after Pastor Joe Buchanan left the area. In 2005, Pastor Larry Garrison accepted the role as pastor. In early 2005, Open Door realized that in order to continue to grow, more space was needed. So the church began to pray and committed together to pay off the existing church mortgage, the existing building mortgage, and they did that in 1 month at the sum of $33,000. In April 2006, Open Door members broke ground for a new sanctuary and fellowship hall. Several mission teams came from all over and helped with the project that was overseen and directed by McMaster's and Son Construction. The new sanctuary was completed and the first service was held in December of 2006. The new fellowship hall was completed in the spring of 2007. And I'm proud to say that visions of growth are still on the horizon as Christ encourages the church to love God, love others, and to serve both. And as a result of that, most of you didn't even know this, the majority of you had no clue, but a group of us met last Saturday and Sunday, through a contact with Steve Schaefer. We met with a church designer last week, and he was in service last Sunday. We met with a church designer to help us envision our new church sanctuary that we intend to build. Visions of growth and reaching the lost is still our focus to this day. In 1982, our church consisted of 11 people. 11 people. We had 29 attending our VBS, our backyard Bible clubs. That's our past. Today, according to the last year's annual church profile, we have 228 members. That is an increase of 1,973%. And last year, we had 152 children attending our VBS. This is our present. Amen. Gets me choked up every time. So I can say that God has truly blessed us. Amen. And what the future holds, clearly only God knows, right? Only God can answer that. However, we as a church can celebrate that God will continue the work that he started here nearly 24 or 34 years ago, because God does not start anything that he does not bring to completion. Amen? And fortunately for us, God has chosen to use us to accomplish his purpose. He has chosen us to use us to build his kingdom right here in Colliers, West Virginia. And he has called us from every state, from all over. And today, as we celebrate God's work past, I believe that we owe a great debt of gratitude to those who have forged the trail before us. There has been much sweat and tears, much pain and much love that has gone on before us. Those who dedicated their lives to serving and building the church that we know that we have here today. And we, here today, God's present, as we carry on the legacy of those before us, I think that we need to just take a moment and to applaud the work of those who were before us. Amen. Now, my prayer is that today, as we celebrate God's work present, that we will continue to serve, to work, and to build the foundation that has been laid for us, so that our future brothers and sisters in Christ, the ones that will come after us, some of these young ones that we see here that we've instilled a foundation in, that our future brothers and sisters in Christ, God's work future, will have an even stronger and larger foundation to build on. A more mature foundation, I would even like to say. Our foundation, my friend, was forged on the prayers of God's people. I don't know if you caught that. The prayers of God's people forged the way that we are. Listen, courageous people. They were courageous people who were willing to be stretched out, to be pulled, to be stretched, and used by God for his purpose. Not their own, but for his. You know, when I was reading our history, overwhelmingly the foundation was God and the prayers of God's people, and God over and over and over and over again answering our prayers. What was it? Remember what Pastor Hayes said? Everything about the church is a direct answer to prayer. The key is availability. God wants us to be available to use as he wills. If we are willing, God has a place for us. So my prayer now in the present is that we strive to continue to build up on the rock of God's word and God's son, Jesus Christ. Amen? I can say this without hesitation or doubt, that the one thing that Open Door Baptist Church has always been grounded upon is that the truth, and that is the truth of God's word, Jesus Christ. We have never strayed from that. God's word is truth, and Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that truth. And as his people, we can first never forget that. We should never, ever forget that. And second, never stop sharing that. That's the key. So moving to the future, that can never change. But listen, the responsibility falls upon each one of us personally here today. Every single one of us sitting in these pews, including me. We are here today. We here today are the hands and the feet of God. We are. We are his workers. We are his servants. We are the hands and feet of God, both corporately and individually. We here today are God's present future kingdom builders. Do you catch that? We here today are God's present future kingdom builders. And it is with pride that I utter these words. It really is. We have some of the most tremendous Bible teachers that I will put up against anybody in any church anywhere. I have that much confidence in the people that serve here. We have a future. I am a present future kingdom builder. So are you. You know, I thought about I should have that on my business cards, right? Larry Garrison, Pastor Larry Garrison, God's present future kingdom builder. Is that kind of catchy, right? Understand, I find serving God both a privilege and an honor. Do you? I find that. I don't find it a chore. I don't find it drudgery. I don't find it, I find it a privilege. I find it an honor to do this. And I serve him with pride and joy and gratitude. And listen, I hope that you do too. But understand this. God picked you and me. God chose you and me. God picked you and me to do the most important job that he has, and that is in building his kingdom. Now, with that said, I'm not going to lie to you. There are days when being a present future kingdom builder is hard. Amen? Sometimes there's a lot of discouragement. Sometimes there's a lot of pain. Trust me, I know that there are seasons when the Christian life is difficult, and remaining a faithful servant in those times can be an overwhelming task. Because there are seasons when serving others, you hear people say, well, you work with the public, you get that all the time. But there are seasons when serving others becomes a burden instead of a joy. We say things, and it comes to saying things like this: I do not want to do this anymore. It's just too hard. I'm out. Let somebody else do it. And there are some trials that make us question God. There truly are. There's some things that take place in ministry when we back up and say, Lord, why? Why? Why now? Why me? Why this? Why? And we sit back and we question ourselves. Why do I even bother? What's the point? People don't appreciate me. People don't do this. People don't do that. Why, Lord? Now, I would have to guess that most of us here today would not be willing to admit that there are days and there have been times in our Christian lives, our God's past, or even maybe today, God's present, that we have felt this way. None of us likes to stand up here and say, yeah, I wanted to give up on God. Yeah, I wanted to give up on this ministry. Yeah, I wanted to give up on the church. Yeah, I want to do this. We don't want to stand up here and say that, but the truth is, many of us have been there. But many of us, we just keep trudging along, day after day, allowing the burdens, allowing the strains of ministry to weigh us down, which is most likely a sin or forgiveness problem, just putting that out there. So it weighs us down and slows us down. It becomes a hindrance. It becomes something that has harnessed us and holding us back. So that instead of doing God's future work, we get stuck. We get stuck right where we are. I was out riding my bike last night. My brother and I went out to dinner and we took our bikes. And on the way back, I noticed down off the side of the ditch in the pasture field, there was a cow stuck in a ravine. He was stuck there. That's sometimes what we do. We get ourselves in a hole, in a situation, and we get stuck there. Someone had to come along sometime between now, I hope, and got that cow out of there, but I wasn't stopping. I don't know. I'm not a cow guy, right? But here's what I'm saying is we get stuck. So instead of God's doing God's future work in us, we get stuck right where we are in the present, but not doing God's work at all. So today, Open Door Baptist Church, today in God's present work, I would like to encourage you. I would like to celebrate with you by sharing with you words that have encouraged me throughout my years of service to our Lord Jesus Christ. So turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews. I would like to begin in chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Now, I've preached this years ago. I did. But as we move forward, and as we move into our busy season of ministry, it is a good word for us, I believe, to stay on track. So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, as we look at these verses in Hebrews, the writer is comparing a Christian life and Christian work to a race. That's the scenario. Our Christian life and our Christian work, he's likening it to a race. And the writer isn't referring to a 100-yard dash. I want you to notice here, he says, let us run with endurance. Now, endurance means this. It means the ability or strength to last or continue. Despite fatigue, we can last or continue despite fatigue, despite stress, or other conditions. It means this, a lasting quality. It means duration, a long period of time. So the writer is referring to a marathon, a race that requires endurance and preparation. Despite fatigue, stress, or conditions. And listen, I don't know how many of you have run a marathon. I'm sure, has anybody here run a marathon before? One or two? One, yeah, two, yeah. Okay, not very many of us, right? So, but some of you may run a marathon, but I know in order to run a marathon, a person must be in top physical shape. Now, let me put this in perspective for you. If I were going to run the Pittsburgh Marathon in May of 2020, I should already be conditioning. It's 26.2 miles long. That's like from literally from our front door to Wheeling. So if I were going to do that, I would need to spend time training my body for such a race. I would need to begin eating the right foods. And also, I would need to begin preparing myself mentally. I would need to prepare myself mentally for such a race. And listen, unless I have the will, watch. Unless I have the will, the fervor, to complete such a race, I will never succeed. That goes back to me saying it's a privilege and an honor, not a drudgery. I have to have the will, the fervor to complete such a race. You know, because if I don't, I will never succeed. It's a mental thing as much as a physical thing. Obviously, I've not chosen to run that race, right? I haven't chosen to run that race in 2030. So listen, I'm not there. I've not done that. However, as we live the Christian life, or the race set before us, once we take that step of salvation, these same principles apply. We must eat the right food by consuming the Word of God. What am I saying? We must feed our faith. We must feed our spirit upon the Word of God. We must exercise our faith. That means put it into practice, also known as walking the walk. And we must align our will with God's will. You know, people say, well, it's your free will. You know what? You can have free will. You go ahead and exercise your free will. Go ahead, you have it, okay? But listen to me, if your will is outside of God's will, you will suffer the consequences of your will. All right? That's how free, you know, I get down that all the time, why? Free will. No, 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 no. You can have it, sure, but if it doesn't align with God's will, you'll suffer the consequences. Don't believe me? You ask Adam and Eve. And listen, if we are faithful in these things, no matter how difficult our lives are, no matter how difficult the race is, no matter how many obstacles get in our way, we will endure and finish this life with victory. Not just our victory, but His victory. It's a lasting victory. It's an eternal victory. And listen, God's work future is where the celebration really begins for us. Amen? Think about this. God's work future is where the celebration really begins for us. Paul says this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now, wouldn't you agree and wouldn't you be proud to stand before God with that as your legacy? I mean, think about it. To be able to say, Lord, here I am. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. You know, I stuck my head in Charlie's class for 2 seconds, literally, almost. And the one thing I heard him say was this. When at the end, when you stand before God, do you want him to replay a life of bloopers, or a life of regrets, or do you want it to be a life of victory? When I stand there, I want to say, God, I fought the fight. You know what? I want him to say it, not me. I want him to look at me and say, brother, man, you fought the good fight. So today in God's present work, brothers and sisters, when runners seem to be dropping out, when we have our own trials, when it's easy to become discouraged, and when you may be tempted to drop out of the race and let others do the running in your place, we must endure to finish well. We have to keep pressing in and keep pressing forward. So today in God's work present, I want to show you what we as believers must do to finish the race, to finish the work in the face of adversity, to achieve and triumph over the odds. So for you and I to finish our race that God has set before each of us, and He's put one. If you're saved, He's put you in the race. We must remember these things. First, God's work past, encouragement. Encouragement. Listen, we can celebrate the work of the Lord by looking to those who have ran before us. You know, as the writer of Hebrews begins chapter 12, he draws our attention back to chapter 11, which is commonly referred to the faith chapter. But verse 1 says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." Who is he talking about here? Well, he's referring to former servants, people who have served, a cloud of witnesses, Abel in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, who by faith offered God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Or like Noah, chapter 11, verse 7, who by faith prepared an ark for saving his household. Or like Abraham in chapter 11, verse 8, who by faith, when God said, go, he went. And also who, when he tested him in chapter 11, verse 17, he offered up his son Isaac. Like Moses in chapter 11, verse 29, who by faith led God's people through the desert. Or in chapter 11, verse 35, the many others who by faith were tortured, who faced trials and mockings and imprisonment. People who ran the race and finished the race and who served as a witness to us. And listen to us, we need to look at them. We too have our own heroes of the faith that we can celebrate. There are many that we can look back to for our encouragement in our own church as we too run the race. God has sent great servants to this church. People like Pastor Hayes and Betty Hayes. There are so many that I can name in God's past here at Open Door. People like Pastor Joe Buchanan, who discipled us in the Word of God. I mean, he got us down into the foundations of this, and he taught us the Word of God. People like Rod and Gene Adams. I couldn't help but think of Gene Adams on the very opening song. You? Amen? Very opening song. Gene Adams, man, she comes to my mind. Ron, remember Rod, who prayed every single day, day in and day out, for children to come to this church? That was his goal. He prayed diligently for children to come to church. Do you realize that there was a day when there was only two children in this church? Two. Olivia Felici and Bethann Garrison. Two. There were people, but listen, God sends his servants, right? God sent people like Jack Trickett, who came to this church with drawings and statistics and discipleship that showed us that we needed to build a preschool department. Are you out of your cotton picking mind? You want us to spend $40,000 on a preschool department? We only have two kids. Remember? We thought he was nuts. He actually looked nuts, but I say that, though, he's probably the biggest influence in my spiritual life and many others in this church. He looked at us and said, look, you got to have this. Listen, we had one preschooler at the time, Bethann Garrison. It was Jack who helped us believe, if you build it, they will come. If you're prepared for them, they will come. People like Marty Scovart, who put this stained glass window in. You know, she drew that herself. That's her design. She drew that and mapped that out on a piece of paper. And then she went out and searched and found a glass maker, and she paid for it, amen? And she paid for it. So, listen, why did she do that? Why was this so important to her? Why was that? Did she want her name to be on that? Did she want that? Her name's not on that. She didn't want her name on that. But do you know why that was so important for her? She wanted us to always remember that our focus should be on Jesus and the work that he did on the cross. That was her reason. People like Charlie Lash. Man, I'm going way back now, huh? People like Charlie Slash, who's sat over in the Fort Steuben Mall. Every single day, Charlie sat at the Fort Steuben Mall. For one reason and one reason only. Anybody know what it was? Say it. To witness to people. And if you got near him, you were there for an hour. So you went into the mall. You know the entrance that Charlie sat in? You always went around because if you got... No, but he was there every single day, day in and day out. And he had a newspaper, and he had the Word of God. And if you walked up to him or past him, he'd say, hey, you got a minute? And he would share the gospel. That's a great witness, amen? He reminds us that that's what we should be doing. A reminder to us all that this is what we are supposed to be doing, telling people about Jesus Christ. Or how about Dorcia Bryant? Dorcia served faithfully, even in pain. Up until nearly the very end of her life, she taught us to serve with diligence. She taught us to serve with perseverance, to serve with endurance. And listen, there are just a few, that's just a few of God's past kingdom builders, and most of you don't even know any of them. Listen to me, I can literally go on and on of people in our past who have worked tirelessly in this church to build the foundation of God's present and future work. People like Keith and Mary Felton, George and Mary Hewlett, John and Ellen Long, Catherine Wise, Marianne Kimball, Peril Finelli, May Brady, Bob and Mildred Richter, Laverne Harrell. Listen to me. If it wasn't for Laverne Harrell, we wouldn't have Travis. Where's Travis? See you in here. Am I lying, Travis? I'm right. If it wasn't for Laverne Harrell, does anybody know Laverne Harrell? Yeah. She brought that boy to church. She drug him to church. She took care of that kid. You know what? That's the kind of people we have. How about Ralph and Joanne Ryan? Listen, I could just go on and on and on about these people that laid the foundation in this church. And listen, these heroes of our faith, they didn't quit until the race was finished. They were faithful until the end. They served all the way up to the very end. Listen, there were many who endured unspeakable hardships. I want you to think about Noah. Just take Noah, for example. 120 years it took him to build an ark while people laughed at him. 120 years. Or how about Moses, who wandered in the wilderness for 40 years? Right? But yet they ran. They endured. They never gave up. No matter what was going on, no matter what, they never gave up until the Lord called them home. So the great cloud of witnesses, these heroes of our faith, they have finished their race. And now they are seated in the grandstands in the heavenlies celebrating. Do you see the reward? Do you see Dorcia? You see your mom and dad? Do you see? I'm looking at some of you people. What do you think Pastor Hayes is saying right now? They're celebrating. They're celebrating the work. They serve as a witness to us, as an encouragement to endure, to continue on despite fatigue, despite stress, despite hardship, despite the trials and tribulations. They endured because they believed in what they set out to do. Do you know why I do what I do? Because I believe in it. Do you know why Zeke does what he does? Because he believes in it. Do you know why Barb does what she does? Because she believes in it. Do you know why you do what you do? Because you believe in it. That's why we do what we do, because we believe in what we set out to do. They were determined to overcome any obstacle that was before them, all for the cause of Christ. Also, the people would know Jesus Christ. Open Door, listen to me. We must be determined to succeed. We must be determined to seek for the cause of Jesus Christ. We must endure and never give up. And that too, Christians, is what we see in the great cloud of witnesses. That's what we see in the great cloud of witnesses that have gone on before. Determination as well as endurance. The great cloud of witnesses, they prove to us that we can endure. Yes, we can. In Christ, all things are what? And that should be an encouragement of the reliability and faithfulness of our Lord, right? So what was it that Pastor Hayes said? It is the impact these answered prayers have had on the people that is important. Not the things that they have received. Nothing is too big for God. Understand this, Christian. God's faithfulness has an impact. Amen? God's faithfulness has an impact, or should have an impact. It should be an encouragement to you. Listen, nothing is too big for God. Say that. Nothing is too big for God. So as we move forward, let's not forget that. It may seem big to us, but nothing is too big for God. So first, to celebrate the work of the Lord, be encouraged. Number one, be encouraged by the endurance of those who ran before you. Now here's number two. Secondly, to endure in God's work, we must remember God's work present, and that is emancipation. You're saying, what? Emancipation. We can celebrate the work of the Lord because he emancipates us so that we can run the race. Before your salvation, you could never run this race. You could wear yourself out, but you was never going to make the completion. It was only after salvation that he emancipated. So what does emancipate mean? Emancipate means this: free from restraint or influence to free as a slave from bondage. Understand this: God's work in our present lives is to emancipate us, to free us, so that we can celebrate the full victory of our calling. What does God free us of? What is it? He frees us from our sin, right? He emancipates us. He frees us. He creates us in a new mind. He creates us in a new heart, right? He gives us a new vision, a new purpose, a new work. He emancipates us. Hebrews chapter 1, chapter 12, verse 1 instructs us. It says this: lay aside every weight. What else does it say? And the sin which so easily ensnares us. Now, this refers to sins which clings to, distracts, and entangles, and trips us up as a Christian runner. They become a weight as we run. That's what it means. In biblical days, men wore long robes. You've all seen the pictures, and you might have seen Joseph run around here the last couple of weeks in a robe. But you all seen the pictures, and I think I've told you before that the literal picture here is of a man trying to run a race while dressed in a long flowing robe. Now, most of us men in here don't understand that, but many of you women might, right? As you can imagine, it would be easy for him to get tripped up in those robes and fall and thereby be out of the race. He would be disqualified. Well, in the spiritual arena, that's what we're talking about. In the spiritual arena, this refers to anything that hinders our work and walk with God, the robe of sin. This means the big stuff, the big ten of sins. But it also speaks of things that may seem innocent in of themselves. Like, what are you talking about? Things that get in your way of serving, things that stop you. Things like too much television, too much Xbox, don't throw anything at me. Just sheer laziness, too much work, too many sports programs. Ouch. Things that on the surface that may seem innocent enough, but when they interfere, when they come before the present work of the Lord and hinder you from serving, then they slow us down in the Christian race, and that's when we need to lay them aside. Listen, I'm not telling you this is easy. I'm telling you what God's word says. Understand this. The runners in Jesus' day either had to tie their robes up, but most likely they took them off. The NIV, if you have it, it says they throw them off. So more than likely, they threw off their robes and ran in a more natural state, if you get what I'm saying. Listen, it's easy to get weighed down by sin. Yes, it is. And trust me when I tell you, it will most definitely tangle you up. It'll tangle us up so that we are not free to move, so that we are not free to walk where God calls us to walk. If I'm walking in sin and thinking that God's going to bless me, you are delusional. You can't. It's a contradiction. Listen to me very carefully. If I'm walking in sin and trying to serve God at the same time, what do you think's going to rise up out of me more? Well, first of all, anybody that looks at me is going to say, he or she is a hypocrite. Right? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Doesn't line up. My talk doesn't align with my walk. You see that? We at Open Door Baptist Church have been set free from the bondage of sin. Amen? And now we are slaves to righteousness. God's work present is for us to be righteous, to be emancipated from sin so that we can continue his future work. That's the most important thing. And listen, we are in this for the long haul. It's an endurance. And instead of sitting back and waiting to see what will come our way, we are told again in verse 1, look what it says, let us run. Do you understand? These are action words. Let us run. Not sit, but run. We are called Open Door Baptist Church to run headfirst into whatever God has called us to do, regardless of what adversities or changes that lie before us or ahead of us. We are to run with endurance and overcome in the power of the Lord. Not in your own power. You won't last. You won't make it. But in the power of the Lord, the race that is set before us right now. God has put you in this race. But listen to me, friends. We can't do that if we're getting tripped up in our robes. If we keep getting tripped up in our sins. So we need to lay aside and throw off those things that hinder us. So the question would be to all of us, including me, the question today is this: what sin is it today that I need to cast off? What sin is it that I need to throw off? And you're thinking, I don't know. Yes, you do know, because God's telling you about it right now. What is it? What sin is it holding you back to being all that God has wanted you to be? Listen, it doesn't have to be big. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. It could be something like Xbox. Who is it that maybe you need to forgive? Understand. Now watch. We need to stand before the Lord to be set free. Amen? We need to stand before the Lord to be set free before we can run among men. We need to stand before the Lord before we can run among men. Which leads me to final point. And running with endurance, we must look forward to God's future empowerment. Empowerment. Understand, we can celebrate the work of the Lord because he empowers us to run the race. Notice that verse 2 tells us that we are to run looking unto Jesus. This is so important. We are to run looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen, plainly put is this. That means that we are to use Jesus as our focal point. We are to use Jesus as our power supply. While we run the race we have been given by God, Jesus should be our inspiration. Listen very closely to me. Don't let circumstances hinder your race, but let Jesus be our goal. If you're doing the ministry for you, it ain't worth it. I do what I do for God to be glorified, not me. You know, people get mad at me. They'll say, man, that was a great sermon, Pastor. And I'll say, give God the glory. I know, but no, I appreciate you. And I thank you. And I love you. I do. But I don't do this for my glory. I do it for his. And when he shuts my mouth, I'm going to stop because he's told me to stop. You see, Jesus ran his race and he ran it well with excellence. I want you to notice this. Even through the shame of being a public spectacle, people made false accusations against him, made false charges against him. People just mocked him. They stripped him of his dignity before the human race. Through all the false accusations against him, he ran with excellence. He finished the course. He finished the work that was laid out before him. And now he stands, right? Now he stands at the finish line in the race of life. Do you understand that? That is where our true celebration begins. This is where it's at for the Christian. This is where true, it's not the accolades of man, it's the accolades of God. When we are basking in the glory of our eternal celebration with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that is what makes it worth it. Understand, when our race is over here, when our race is over here, we will stand before God. Do you get that? Do you understand? I realize that when I'm done here, that my next step is to be before God. And then the things of this earth will grow. Do you think I'm going to remember that Barb got mad at me? Do you think I'm going to remember that Zeke got mad at me? Do you think I'm going to remember my mom beat me like a... No, just kidding. I'm not going to remember those things. Those things are going to go strangely dim. Why? Because I'm going to be in the light of His glory and grace. Amen. But listen, while we run, when we are in that race, we have to be careful to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Watch me. We have to be careful to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and not on the other runners. Because if my eyes are focused on you and what you're doing or what you're not doing, do you understand that? If I get focused on the person who's not doing, then I'm going to get the attitude, then why should I? But if I get focused on what you're doing, then I think, well, then maybe you should do it better. You see, if my eyes are fixed on what Steve is doing, or what Steve's not doing, if my eyes are fixed on Becky and what she's doing, or what she's not doing, or what Randy is doing, or what, you know, Charlie is doing, or whoever, if my eyes are fixed on any other person and what they are doing or not doing, instead of on Jesus Christ, then most definitely distraction and defeat are guaranteed. Charlie touched on that in his sermon last week. That it's actually driven people mad. August 5th, 1984, Los Angeles, California. The 1984 Summer Olympics. Gabriella Anderson Scheiss participated in the first women's Olympic marathon. For her, it was a big deal because it was the first time women had been permitted to participate. Very first time. 1984 seems unreal, right? She considered it an honor. It was 90 degrees outside, and with 400 meters to go, she was about a quarter mile. She was about a quarter of a mile from being done when her body seized up. The crowd gasped as she staggered onto the track, her torso twisted, her left arm limp, her right leg mostly seized. And she waved away medical personnel who rushed to help her, knowing that if they touched her, she would be disqualified from the race. She was suffering dehydration and heat exhaustion. Anybody ever get exhausted in the service? And I watched a YouTube video documentary, and she said as she entered the track, she knew her body was failing. Before she even started the race, when she entered the track, she knew her body was failing. Her muscles everywhere were seizing up and cramping. And here are some of the things she said in talking about that day. She said this, "My big concern going into the race was the heat and the humidity," she said. "You just try to put it aside and just concentrate on your race." She said, when talking about the last 400 meters, when her mind still worked, but her body stopped, she said this, "I kind of told myself, try to keep running, try to stay upright. My muscles didn't respond, but I knew if I would stop or sit down, that that would be the end of it. I just was determined to make it to that finish line." She said, at that point, it was, "I'm in the Olympics. I want to finish the race." You know, God's put you in a race. She said, looking back, it was painful, but the main thing was, I made it. She said, I could hear the people cheering in the stadium, and that kept me going. She said, though, that afterwards, the medics carried her off the track, and she was embarrassed that she didn't finish as well as she wanted. And what surprised her was all the compassion of average people who were watching the games and also from the other athletes. She said the other athletes were very supportive. They identified because they could see the struggle. And they saw that if you really set your mind to it, you can overcome a lot of obstacles. She said it taught her that in addition to overcoming obstacles, you have to get over some bad experiences and stay focused on the finish line. Well, Gabby kept her focus as she finished the race that day. She finished because she did not quit. She did not become distracted by the painful circumstances. She kept her eyes on the finish line. Listen to me, Open Door Baptist Church. We must not look at the circumstances. We must not look at others. I'm not running my race for you. We must not look at others because doing so will cause distraction and defeat. And if we stop and sit down, we might just not get up again. Therefore, we must fight. 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 Jesus fought for you. He fought for you in the hard time, in the shameful times, in the time of the horrific times of pain. He fought for you and chose to fight through every obstacle set before him. And so should we. You must tell yourself, try to keep running. Try to stay upright. Look upward, not outward. Look upward, not outward. Listen, if you get your focus on me, you're going to fail. You're going to fail. You're going to fall. Don't look at me. Look upward. We each have our own race to run. I want you to pay attention. I know it's been a couple weeks, so hang in there. Each of you have been given a race to run in your little corner of the world. God has brought you to this church for a purpose. God has saved you for a reason. And he's put you in the race. The race you are running has been prepared just for you. Nobody else, just you. And listen, your race may not be the same as mine. That means you cannot run in my lane and I cannot run in yours. Now listen very carefully to me. Very carefully. You may think that there are things I should or should not be doing. And the same for me towards you. But the bottom line is this. You ask yourself this and see if you get what answer you get. Am I doing what I feel God has called me to do? Is there success in your ministry? Has there been success in the past? Have you seen fruit of the labor that you put in? Then you're in the race that God has set you in. Am I feel that I'm where God has called me to be? Am I doing what God has called me to do? Listen to me. You need to ask that question of yourself for you, not for me. I'm convinced that the cause of Christ has been hindered by fellow brothers and sisters who refuse to run in their own lane. People who get too caught up worrying about what's going on in my lane. And as a result, they get in the way of the work God is doing in theirs. Individually, when you don't do what God has called you to do within the body of believers that he's called you to do it, then you become an obstruction to the rest of the body. Understand this. God has gifted us all differently. All of us. Steve has gifts that I don't have. Zeke has gifts that I don't have. Barb and Jim and Randy have gifts that I don't have. Well, I definitely have more gifts than my brother, but anyways, you understand what I'm saying. The other brother, yeah, the other brother. So, but you understand, God has gifted us all differently. Again, Charlie's sermon last week. And secondly, unlike Olympians, we are not in competition. I'm not in competition with any leader in this church. We're on the same team, folks. Now, even though we have each been given our own work, our goal is the same, the finish line of Jesus Christ. We are not in competition. We are in partnership. My job isn't to outrun you. My job is to run for Jesus with you. We are all on the Jesus team. That sounds like a VBS thing. We're all on the Jesus team, and in addition to running with you, I should also be cheering you on. And as I run my race, I should be cheering you to run yours. But like you, I'm to run the race that he has planned for me to the best of my ability, not yours. And we can only do that. We can only finish well if our eyes are on the one who started us in the race. Don't forget that. That's the key to this whole sermon. We can only finish well if our eyes are on the one who started us on this race and the one who will empower us to finish the race. And our primary duty while we run is to look ahead. Look ahead to him, the prize. Listen, the prize isn't 218 members or 228 members. The prize isn't 152 people. The prize is when I stand before him. Anything less will spell disaster for the Christian runner. You see, Jesus ran the race, and I just want to mention, he didn't run John the Baptist's race. He ran his own race. And Jesus ran, according to verse 2, for the joy that was set before him. And some people look at that and say, where's the joy in going to a cross? Where's that joy? Where's the joy in going to the cross? Where's the joy in dying like a common criminal? Where's the joy in being rejected by people you love? Where's his joy? Go look in the mirror and you'll see. Go look in the mirror and you'll see. You'll see why he endured all that he endured, all that the Father laid before him. Jesus endured it for you. The salvation of all believers, you and me, the past, the present, and the future. The day when he would be in heaven with the redeemed of all ages. Amen. People want to say, you're crazy. People say, I'm looking forward to the day. You know when people say, you know, if you're not getting old, you're dead, or, you know, at least the alternative? Listen, the alternative's better. The alternative's better than this. The day when you stand before him. The day that Jesus went back and ascended into heaven to the Father. And he says, I've done all that you've asked me to do. I've done all that you've asked me to do. Do you think at that point that he remembered all the shame? Do you think at that point he remembered all the false accusations? Nope. He was able to look past all that and see you. To see that life that was changed. When one of those kids give their life to Christ. When somebody walks down this aisle and says, I need to invite Jesus Christ into my life. What is my word to you? I told you all this to tell you this one thing. Jesus Christ should be our motivation. He should be our power source. Nothing more, nothing less. I should be cheering you on, and you should be cheering me on. I should not be hindering you. What's too big for God? Wherever you're at, ask yourself that question. What is too big for God? Stay focused on him. You want to know why? Because he's the author and finisher of our faith. Let us run. Open door. Let us run. Let us run. Let us finish the race. And then one day, we'll get to be a hero. But remember this, and I'm closing with this last statement, I promise you. But remember this. We can never run before men until we stand before God. We can never run before men until we stand before God, totally surrendered to Him. Only then will we run with endurance for the purpose in which Jesus saved you. Run. 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 Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you for the encouragement that you give us in your word. Father, I just pray that now, Father, there may be some that need to come and pray about the race that they're in. They need to ask for your vision. They may need to ask for focus. They need to ask for your spirit to be moving in their ministry. But Father, that we would surrender ourselves as your church, as your people, Father, that we will surrender ourselves totally unto you. And Father, that our work is not for men, but for you, but that involves teaching others. So Father, we just ask for your glory and your grace to fall upon us, your spirit move us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Will you please